She has explored a variety of teaching approaches to improve students' learning so it is relevant and sustainable. Tami's interests are in improving students' experiences and success through blended and face-to-face learning. She is currently employed as an adult learning specialist in the Center for Teaching and Learning at Aurora College in the Northwest Territories of Canada. So before I hand over to Tami, I will move on to just to our normal tradition, the land acknowledgement. Our land acknowledgement today is being read. I begin by acknowledging that we are on the traditional and territorial lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, and Algonquin homelands. We acknowledge these ancestral lands that we are gathered on, which continue to interconnect us all, and remind us that we are all treated people. Our First Nations communities now located on these lands include Temagami, Timiskami, Matetra, Mategami, Wagoshi, Telkwa, Tagamwa, Beaver House, Flying Post, Moose Cree, Fort Albany, Kashetra, Atawapiskat, Winusk, and Métis People Region 3. So that's the land acknowledgement. So I will hand over to Tami to do our thing. Thank you so much, Tami, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for being a part of this wonderful session this Wednesday afternoon. Go ahead, Tami.
Thank you very much, Dr. Arorulo. Did I say that correctly or close?
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay. It is my honor and pleasure to be here together with you today, and I'm joining you from the homeland of Chief Jimmy Dryges and the territory of the Yellowknife Dene in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories, and I acknowledge that I'm a settler in these lands that I'm residing in right now, which has been my home for the last 30 years with my husband and children and grandchildren. I'm very grateful for being here and for the opportunity to learn and grow with people in our community. So today, what I'd like to talk to you about, I've already had a wonderful introduction there. My apologies, the bio I sent you is with our old name, the Center for Teaching and Learning. It's now been changed to the Center for Learning, Teaching and Innovation. Still the same people, still in the same building. And we are located across, of course, the Northwest Territories. So I work with people who aren't necessarily in Yellowknife, but in different parts of this over a million square kilometers of space that we cohabitate with 33 communities. So just a bit of context, I've been in the North, like I said, for about 30 years. And during that time, I've had different jobs. I've been a manager of training and development. I've been a senior instructor, an instructor, an evaluator, and a researcher. And I just realized I'm going to have to turn my... Sorry, I'm going to share my screen here. Okay. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Perfect. And is it, have I got it up just on the one? Have I got it in? Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, one.
Okay. So my interest is in student success in remote post-secondary education. And one thing that I've recognized over the last many decades is that what's really important to us is cadence. And so today what I'm going to do is it's going to be quite interactive, but I'm going to talk about what cadence is in a course and in a program and for an institution. I'm going to talk about why that matters to us and how we can use it to improve learning conditions and make learning memorable for our students. So what I'd like to do is I would like to invite each of you to pick one of these four videos. They're all about 3 to 4 minutes long. What I'd like for you to do is pick the one that resonates the best with you, and then mute yourselves, pick and link it and pull it up on your own computer. And I'd like for you just to watch it for 3 or 4 minutes. And when you're done, if you could please come back and turn your screen on so that we know everyone's back, or you can just put something in the chat so that I know that you're back. The purpose behind this is I would like to know when you're done watching the video or while you're watching it, I want to know what makes this piece of music memorable to you. Okay. Are there any questions about that?
Okay. So you will see that I've posted the link in the chat. So there are 4 links.
Perfect. I'm just going to drag that over here. Okay, Ode, I'm not gonna, I can see the chat, but I can't see, I'm not sure if I'll be able to see people coming and going.
Because you are sharing, so you might not be able to see all the people that are joined in, but we still have 25 joined right now.
Did you want to jump out and watch a video, or?
I'm also watching a video on my other screen.
I'll stop talking to you then. I'm reading the chat here. This is fantastic. Yes, that I really enjoyed yesterday just watching and listening to all of these ones I selected here. Okay, so I think it's been about 5 minutes. Kaode, is there, can you see if everyone's back or should we wait a little bit longer? Thanks, JB.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone is, I can see it from the chat, I'm back. So pretty much, so we can carry on.
Okay. Thanks, Neil, as well. Okay. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to open, invite people just to chat, please. I think that'll be easier. What I want to know is, these are all quite famous pieces, and I'd just like to know, what is it that you think makes these memorable? So please feel free to unmute and share your thoughts. That's very neat, Annette. Yeah, did you listen to Buga then?
My apologies. So I wasn't finished typing and I hit enter. But yes, so I had not, I true confessions, I had not listened to her. I had not seen the video before. So it was really, really interesting. Yeah, it was great. So I decided to go with something that I was not familiar with.
Okay, why'd you do that?
Just because I felt a little adventurous today. I thought that's one that I wasn't familiar with it at all. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should be, but I'm not.
Why do you think it's memorable to people? Because it's quite a popular song.
Oh, absolutely. There's just so much going on. I mean, the rhythm and the colors and the theatrics are just amazing. So definitely a lot of stimulation going on for sure. It's amazing.
Anybody else?
Okay, so we're getting some in the chat. Maybe if you want me to read the chat, or you just read the chat, Tammy.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so MJ says, personally, I think Stairway captures a snapshot of my feelings, just like the first time I heard it decades ago. Baby Shark doesn't have the same positive impact on me. Is the opposite because it's too catchy.
Thank you.
Okay, and Ashley says, Baby Shark, the repetition in the lyrics and the tune S make it memorable.
Yes, and that is actually, that is the most played video on YouTube right now, is Baby Shark.
And Vula says, resonates with my emotions. Love the calm and peace the music involves. Okay. True confessions. I've not heard it before. Okay, that's Annette. Okay, so I'll leave it now. Tammy, please go ahead.
Okay, so we've also got, thanks for putting stuff in the chat here, everyone. So Sherry's written, Stairway to Heaven was the last song played at dances when I was a teenager. The tempo changed and we never knew to dance slow or fast. So girls beeline to the bathroom before someone could ask them to dance. That's really cool. Very long song too as well there. Jason's written, my child counts for only half the Baby Shark views. I'm only laughing because one of my grandchildren knows to ask me when she comes into the house for my phone, because her mom and dad will not let her watch Baby Shark, and nobody can understand her, but I can understand what she's asking for. I don't know what it is with small children, but I'm sure it's the tempo that draws them in. Jennifer has written, Beethoven always makes me so happy. The Fifth Symphony is so exciting. It really is. I started conducting in my office. Beautiful. Beethoven is also such an inspiration. What an example of resilience. That's very true. Okay, anybody else? Wow, what was that one?
I guess someone is still playing.
Okay. MJ's also said, I think the choreography that goes with Baby Shark is also so memorable. I agree, and it's very rhythmic. Lots of learning going on there. Shannon says, I play guitar. To me, the notes are easy. It's repetitive. And Shannon, can you just tell us which one you were listening to? All of them. Fantastic. Okay. Alrighty. Any last comments here? My apologies for not asking where everyone was from. Please feel free to put that in the chat as well. So have on the screen in front of you right now, do you have your thoughts on the song? Because my screen is frozen and I'm not sure if I can actually, if I'm advancing the screen for you to see.
Right now, we're on your thoughts on the song. That's what it's showing.
Thank you very much. I'm just gonna, I've tried something different here to move my slide forward. Okay, and have you got what's cadence now?
We're still on your thoughts.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to stop sharing and share again because my screen is frozen here. Just one moment, please. I think I probably should have let you share it here because I'm not familiar with this.
Okay.
Thank you. And if you could put it on slide five, please.
Okay, sure. So,
thank you very much.
Okay.
Beautiful. Okay, so what is cadence? To borrow the term from music, cadence is the flow and pace of the music you listen to. It's the tempo or the rhythmic pattern. And when we contextualize this for learning, it illustrates our teaching patterns in our lectures and our classes. Students are able to predict the learning pattern because the tempo is predictable, anticipated, and if done right, it will resonate with our students' learning. Once the pattern in our courses is recognized, it's more easily understood. And when we create flow and pace in our lectures and classrooms, we take students on a path of discovery. Cadence in neuroscience of education stresses the importance of a repetitive, recognizable patterns on learning, eliciting a full brain and mind-body connection between the materials that we teach and the things our students can retain. Next slide, please. So why do we want to create cadence? The creation of cadence in course development supports students' natural progression of learning through curiosity and discovery. We all look for patterns in our lives because these patterns help us to make sense of our world. Seeing these patterns makes living and life easier, and it creates a bit of compatibility between us and our surroundings and our learning environment. We acknowledge that these patterns also can reduce stress and allows us to focus our attention to build confidence in our understanding and in our environment. It's also important to remember that just like a music composition, when our students' profiles are diverse, the cadence of our course design requires multiple levels of engagement to modulate the needs of the diverse range of students. This requires us to orchestrate more complex teaching systems to accommodate the diverse student body. And when I'm saying that, what I mean is that it's us as the teachers who the burden is on to create more universal design methods to reach those students, not that the burden or the complexity should fall on the students. It should be invisible to the students, and they shouldn't be able to see the layers that we create to scaffold their learning. Remember, the cadence of our large brain in our minds connects with the small brains in our hearts, and that's when we actually remember. It's that emotive response. Next slide, please. Okay, so I'd like to now just very briefly, because this is a topic in and of itself, but I'd like to talk a little bit about brain and brain function. Historically, subject matter areas were viewed predominantly as right brain and left brain dominant. That, of course, comes along with the Industrial Revolution and how we've segmented learning into or compartmentalized learning. Most of us know and understand the various aspects of brain function. Creative, imaginative, and emotive expression is associated with right brain function. And the left brain functions relate to logic, science, math, and numbers. We also know that learning is not that simple. And rarely do we only use one area of our brain for learning. The holistic interplay of brain and body is important in learning development. Basically, what we need to do is we need to create neural pathways, many neural pathways in many aspects or parts of our brain to support more integrated learning and memory retention. Next slide, please. So the room right now is full of people who are experts in their courses, and as experts in all of our professions, many of us want to take our students to deeper levels of understanding, and dare I say, even create excitement for our given areas of specialization. I think each of us wants to generate excitement, and we want to impart knowledge in a way that we feel has value and meaning to others. We want to link our journey with others. It's also important that the object of our learning, or in our case, our teaching, can be anchored into the student's context, not only to support their lived experiences, but also to extend it, and if possible, to extend their learning into new ways of knowing, being, and understanding. That learning must resonate with patterns of understanding that they already know. Our awareness and theirs comes through understanding these patterns, just like we did with the music. And learning comes from those patterns that we create in relation to experience and connection. Simply put, when students recognize the cadence of our courses, they can anticipate where we're coming from and where we're taking them on their learning journey. Learning is then not an abstraction, but a meaningful, purposeful path that's laid out before them. The cadence of your course creates a flow for your students and for their experiences into those meaningful patterns. It embeds that pattern into a recognizable, predictable path for your student to follow. We need to do more than just know our material, and so do the students. They need to feel the course content, and they need to understand the they need to be able to feel the impact in their lives. So again, I'd like to just ask people, next slide, please. And now I've lost my chat. Where did I put it? So my question to you is, can you explain the cadence of your course, how you structure your courses? Or you can look at it from rhythm as well. And I'm sorry, Kayo, I can't find my, oh, I think I know where it is. Hold on. There we go.
Or do you want to use the whiteboard?
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that in here, though.
Yeah, I'm going to share the whiteboard.
Can people write on the whiteboard from their screens in Zoom?
Okay, can you see the whiteboard?
I can.
Okay, so that's the whiteboard. People can write on the whiteboard.
Thank you, I'm learning so much today.
Yeah.
So MJ's written in the chat, I have a predictable three-part structure, always the same. Grammar, chapter overview, then content. Thanks, MJ. I don't even know where LiskArt is. LiskArt. New LiskArt.
Yes, new LiskArt. So we are on Highway 11 between North Bay and Timmins. I'm actually connected to the Haileybury campus of Northern College, but live in New LiskArt, which is, we used to be called the Tri-Town, so the three little communities, and we're actually, I think our official name is Temiskaming Shores now.
Nice. My husband and I biked across Canada in 20, oh my goodness. So it's been about 5 years now. It's been 8 years. And we actually went through Timmins. It's a beautiful little community, but we were on Highway 17 through Ontario. So I didn't get to your neck of the woods there.
So we're a little bit south of Timmins. Yeah, about an hour and a half south of Timmins.
Okay. Okay, so I'm not sure who wrote on the whiteboard here. Yes, I have a review, a lesson, and a quiz review. So again, a beautiful pattern there. Review, lesson plan, and then quiz. So that's almost like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. Quiz, chapter review, grammar lesson, homework. Beautiful. Take up homework, deliver lesson, practice questions. Beautiful. Any last comments, either in the chat space or on the whiteboard there? Pattern's so important for our students. One more here. Review expectations of an assignment before the week it's due. Fantastic. Okay, and M. Singh said, topic discussion, using slides, whiteboard, and other tools to demonstrate, then hands-on practice. Oh, that's interesting. Beautiful. Very, very nice cadence. So the M stands for Manpreet or Manpreet. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct. It's Manpreet Singh.
Manpreet Singh. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. And then we've got a couple more up here. Start with a hook to get them interested in new material, then connect it to the review material, introduce them into new material, and what's the et cetera? Always start with a lesson agenda. Beautiful. Objective, lesson, review of objectives, evaluation, can be activity, quiz, exercise. Nice. That's almost like a bot model, eh? I just ran out of time. Okay. Do hands-on to check understanding of new materials. Fantastic. Then outline homework. Beautiful. I guess the next question for me would be, do your students know your pattern? Do you think they know the pattern? Have you ever asked them if they see the pattern in your class? And can they rely on that pattern every week or every class? Oh, Terry's written here, medical, then trauma, least serious to most serious. I had a whole section on medical trauma and about teaching in trauma and medicine, because it's not done in medical schools. That's an entirely different subject area. Very interesting to me. I'm just going to finish reading this one here. I actually point it out each time and write a schedule on the board. So do I. That's neat. It allows students to know where you're going then, right? So this one that's finished up on the whiteboard is start with a hook to get them interested in new material, then connect it to the review material, introduce a new material, and do a hands-on to check understanding of the new material, then outline the homework. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Okay, so if we can move on to the next slide here now. Okay, creating cadence in our courses has the potential to reduce anxiety about the unknown and to make space for contextually relevant connections. Cadence can be punctuated with a cadenza to increase students' emotive responses or as a pause for effect in a lecture with the intention of accentuating a complex or difficult concept in the lecture. Likewise, a slow cadence can create an environment that elicits reflection and meditative responses to learning environments. If our students hear chaotic, unstructured cadence, then the outcome of their learning will mirror that experience. Neuroscience also supports the importance of the patterns in development and learning and how these patterns assist in students' learning. Our job is to create the time, the space, and the tempo to ensure students leave with the knowledge they came to our institutions to create or learn. Last slide, please. Learning is less about the knowledge that we impart and more about the value of creating an experience that has a lasting impact on students' development. It's about creating a predictable pattern of recognition and helping students see the path to new ways of understanding that are lasting and sustainable. Finally, learning is about that holistic interplay of the brain-body connection on learning and development, and the importance of how that interplay can be enhanced through the cadence of our lectures and the space we create between our students and their learning. We all have a duty and responsibility to make learning memorable, and it's possible by creating cadence in our course design. Thank you very much for your time today. And the next slide is a question slide, please. So if you can, thank you. Merci, Cho. Merci, and thank you. Any questions? Any thoughts? I had information in here about, and then I took it out late last night. It was on medicine and about how learning, I know it's changing now, but for many decades, medicine was all about a scientific approach, the diagnosis and the treatment of pain or illness and disease, but not about what caused disease and how that trauma that we experience as individuals and we keep within our bodies actually is a major aspect of disease development and can also be part of our cure. But I was down a very deep rabbit hole talking about trauma-informed practice and about how we would treat patients differently if we looked at the whole person as opposed to just looking at remedying the disease itself. Oh, Vula wrote, love the idea of cadence. Thank you for making me aware of it. Thanks for coming, Vula. I really appreciate you being here.
I have a question.
Yes.
Sammy? Okay, so, you know, as you were speaking, I was just thinking in my mind that, okay, so when you create cadence, students sometimes want to have variety. So now listening to your talks, I started thinking in my mind, if I continue to have a rhythm, would it not at some point would the student not at some point find my teaching boring, as they would say, oh, that class is boring? That's my question.
So in the class, are you saying that you conduct, that you have reading? Like, is the room quiet and people are allowed to sit and read their books?
Okay, so in a situation where people mention different patterns that they follow. Okay, create a hook, review objective and that and so on. So in a situation where this is done, at some point, won't the student be used to this rhythm and just say, oh, now this class, there's no activity or there's no excitement?
So then you're telling me that the cadence is maybe not, does not have that emotive element to it in that course. So my recommendation is, if you think your cadence is too boring, then you're going to have to punctuate it like an orchestra, where you would have a cadenza, you would have something pop up. So you would have this cadence, and then you can have something that would accentuate your lecture and create spontaneity in your classroom. It doesn't have to be at 11:05 every day. It can be wherever you want it to be. Something I've done to, I teach statistic and economics. So I teach what I used to consider a left brain activity, but I now teach statistics using stories. So, and that actually arose from one of my students who is an Indigenous person and was having trouble understanding. I was teaching a paired t-test, and I could see the eyes glazing over, and I thought, oh, like, I thought this was such a good lecture, and no, it's not, this is really bad. And she put her hand up and she said, could you please tell me a story? Like, this is not working for me, Tammy, I'm not getting this. So I actually sat down and told her a story about what happens when we cut budgets, and we have three teachers in the small community of Litzoke, and one teacher is removed because of budget constraints. And now all of a sudden everyone's learning has decreased because the relational aspect of teaching and learning no longer exists, because there's only two teachers for all of these students instead of three. And then we walked through a paired t-test, and I said, see, look, the budget matters, and here's how, through this mathematical model, how we come to that. So I think there's times when you can still tell them what you're going to tell them what you told them, and then tell them what you told them. You can still have that cadence, but every once in a while you have something that lifts that class up, and like a hook or like an emotive response or a story will elicit them that deeper meaning, or that acknowledgement of deeper meaning for that student. What do you think?
That's awesome. Thanks for that response.
I'm just going back in here to the responses here. No question, but it feels great to be aware about how important cadence is. Beautiful. Rhythm and cadence seem to be innate. Instinctively, we seem to seek out. It's interesting to know why we do that and why it helps us. Humans are interesting. That is so true. I feel that in a class when I'm teaching, and when I know that my cadence or rhythm, they're a little bit different, but when I'm not aligned with my students, and that happens in the North here a lot, because 50% of our students are either immigrants to Canada, newcomers to Canada, or are of European descent, and the other 50% are Indigenous. So there's sometimes, it almost feels like Beethoven, where we have an entire orchestra and we have these different levels of understanding or different areas of emotive responses, and they're not consistent. So it's almost like you're orchestrating different flows within the context of a lecture. Jennifer's written, I love this. It's so interesting to compare to our class to music. I worry that sometimes I might start my classes like the beginning of Oh Fortuna. You have to listen to that. Anyone else? Oh, thank you. Beautiful. I'm going to copy that and watch it after we're done here. Thanks so much. anyone else. The trick, I think, is making that, thinking about an orchestra and thinking about the classroom. I usually end up every year with one student saying, "You've given me too much, Tammy." And it's that person who is trying to memorize everything that I provide, and I provide things in different forms. I'll provide a lecture in a one-page summary, and then you can actually have the audio playing on it. I provide that same information on a lecture on the board, and I provide it in a smart sheet or in my on my smart board, and then I save it as a PDF. I also write it up in my LMS, and there's always one student that will say, "Oh my goodness, like, what have you done? Like, I can't keep up with everything you've done." And so I say to them, there are many, many ways of giving you one piece of information. Pick the one you love. And don't worry, because if you spend all of one day and you go through all my material, you're going to see the consistent pattern. So if you want to listen to voiceover, just play the video or play the audio. And ignore the one-page summaries or the PDFs, because it's the same thing provided to you in a different way. And once students trust that what I'm saying is true, then they stop worrying about the 700-page textbook and the PDFs, and they start listening to the audio files instead of trying to absorb everything and stressing themselves out. Because it's about igniting that entire brain. It's about firing that brain and creating those neural connections on so many different levels so that it becomes an innate part of their understanding. I'd like to thank everyone for coming. This has been wonderful. I did not provide you with my email. I'm going to put it in the chat space here. If anyone wants to contact me, please feel free to reach out. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Love to hear more about your world, because I didn't get a chance to hear who you are and where you're from. Please feel free to reach out.
Yeah. Oh my.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tammy. Thank you. I think you'll agree with me that this is a new topic, a new concept, and I find that it actually follows from the way you used the music at the beginning to see how we can create rhythms in our classes and use that as a form of engagement. Yes. For learners, because true from what you said, if learners understand the pattern that you have created, then it becomes easy for them to follow through with your lessons rather than asking where will I find this or getting them so confused. So I think it's a very topic, and I'm going to do some more exploration on this area and this strategy I can adopt to create this pattern for my students. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for joining us. I thank everyone who has joined the session and how you have all contributed to the session. Learning Excellence and Innovation Department is always happy to bring you some interesting professional development sessions that we engage and improve or increase our ways of doing things and make us better teachers that we always strive to be. Thanks, everyone, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much.